Many a lonely bishop, archbishop, or even vicar had availed himself of her exquisite companionship over the years. Had she been the sort of woman who was inclined to dabble in politics, the many and varied church secrets which had been confided to her over those same years would have made devastating weapons. That, however, was a dangerous game, and one Madame Angélique had been far too wise to play. Besides, she thought broodingly, gazing out at the quiet neighborhood beyond her window, she'd had a better use for most of those secrets.
"You sent for me, madame?"
She turned from the window in a graceful flutter of filmy skirts and whispering silk on satin skin. Despite her age, she continued to exude an aura of sensuality, a mature sense of her own passionate nature no youngster could have matched. She appeared incapable of moving gracelessly, even if she wanted to, and a flicker of what might have been envy showed in the eyes of the plainly dressed servant woman in the doorway.
"Yes, Eliza," Madame Angélique said. "Please come in."
Angélique's courtesy, even with her servants, was natural and instinctive, but there was never any question who was the mistress and who the servant. Eliza obeyed the polite command, carrying her sewing bag, and closed the door behind her.
"I have several minor repairs, I'm afraid," Angélique said,
raising her voice very slightly as the door closed.
"Of course, madame."
The door latched, and Madame Angélique's expression changed. The calm, elegant air of superiority vanished, and her expressive eyes seemed to deepen and darken as she held out her hands. Eliza looked at her for a moment, and then her own mouth tightened. "Yes," Angélique said softly, taking the other woman's hands in her own and squeezing them tightly.
"It's been confirmed. The day after tomorrow, 1 hour after dawn."
Eliza inhaled deeply, and her hands squeezed Angélique's in reply.
"We knew it had to come," she said quietly,
and her voice had changed. The lower-class servant's accent had disappeared into the clear, almost liquid diction of one of the Temple Land's most exclusive finishing schools, and some indefinable change in body posture mirrored the change.
"I still hoped," Angélique replied, her eyes glistening. "Surely someone could have sought clemency for him."
"Who?" Eliza's eyes were harder and drier than Angélique's, but there was more anger in them as well.
"The circle couldn't. Whatever I may have wanted, I always knew that, and why. And if they couldn't, then who else would have dared to? His own family, even his own brother, either voted to confirm the sentence or abstained out of the lingering bonds of affection between them."
She looked as if she wanted to spit on the chamber's gleaming wooden floor.
"Cowards, cowards every one of them."
Angélique gripped her hands more tightly for a moment, then released them to put one arm around her.
"It was the Grand Inquisitor," she said. "None of them dared to defy him, especially after what the Carisians did to the invasion fleet, and after Caleb named Stainer as his successor, and Stainer sent that dreadful letter to the Grand Vicar. The entire council is terrified, whether they want to admit it or not, and Clinton's determined to feed them the blood they want."
"Don't make excuses for them, Angélique," Eliza said softly. "Don't even make excuses for him."
"He was never a bad man," Angélique said.
"No, not a bad man, only a corrupt one." Eliza drew another deep breath, and her lower lip trembled for just a moment. Then she shook herself almost sternly.
"They're all corrupt, and that's why not one of them would stand in his defense. The writ says all men reap as they have sown, and he never sowed anything strong enough to stand in the face of this storm."
"No," Angélique agreed sadly, then squared her shoulders and walked across to the window seat and stretched out along it, leaning back against the upholstered arm at one end where she could look out on the soothing tranquility of the street once again. Elisa followed her and smiled lightly as she saw the three gowns hung ready for mending. Unless she very much missed her guess, Angelic had deliberately torn at least two of them, but that was typical of her. When she summoned a seamstress to repair damaged clothing, the clothing in question was damaged, however it had happened to get that way. Elisa opened her bag and started removing needles, thread, scissors, and thimbles, all of which, except the thread, she reflected wryly, had been made in Caris. One of the things which had inspired Angelic to suggest her current role was the fact that she actually was an extraordinarily skilled seamstress. Of course, that was because it had been a wealthy woman's hobby, not because it had been a servant's livelihood.